One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Look, I just want to say, first of all, I hope you're all healthy and staying safe out there, practicing your social distancing, listening to expert advice, and really taking care of yourselves. Scary times right now. I don't know what the cure is, but like I've said on my Instagram, if you follow me at Ryan Sickler, I know what the cure for comfort is, and that's Honeydew Night Pants, y'all. Honeydew Night Pants are available. They're out there now at RyanSickler.com. Go to my merch store. Got some great Honeydew Night Pants there. You can 24/7. You can use them as day pants. I've been seeing a lot of night pants as day pants. And we got some new retro tees, some nice hoodies up there, some t-shirts as well. The website for The Honeydew is thehoneydewpodcast.com, but everything's at ryansickler.com.
Nice night pants.
You appreciate, oh, a little bleed in right now. You'll know who that is in a second. Also, I want to say this real quick, because a lot of you are having trouble with the Apple Podcast app. I did too. As soon as I upgraded my phone, I had the same problem. Here's the deal. It's a known Apple issue. This podcast, YMH, is professional. It is available everywhere else. Stitcher, Spotify, you name it, on the damn website. It's there. But the solution is to unsubscribe from the podcast and then try to resubscribe. That has not worked for some people, myself included. So the full solution for me was to unsubscribe, delete the podcast from my library, and then add it back and resubscribe. And I've gotten every episode since. So that's the problem with Apple. And I do want to give a special shout out to Sweet Flower. They're a cannabis dispensary in Studio City, Melrose, and the Arts District with a modern approach to cannabis with a highly curated selection of top shelf flower. They've been hooking me up during this time. They've been deemed essential because of all the health benefits of the plant, and they are, thank God. And they deliver all over LA, from Woodland Hills to Pasadena, from the Palisades to LAX. If you use code POD, P-O-D, and you're here in L.A., you'll get 20% off, all right? Now, you know what we do here, and if you don't, we highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers, and you're going to know who this guy is here today, obviously, the president and CEO and the main mommy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Tom Segura.
Hey, now. Good to be here, man.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'm going to set you up with some night pants real soon.
I would love some night pants.
Everybody's getting night pants, bro.
You've been are these a Factor Five related?
These are Factor Five. No, those would be my compression pants. Those are Honeydew compression pants.
Are those in the store?
They're next. Bro, I'm trying to be creative.
When we went on our, it was the first time was actually like a few years back when you showed up for some flight we were on. I was like, "The fuck are you wearing?" And you're like, My Factor
Five pants, man.
The track pants are acting up. I gotta wear my compression pants, my compression socks. You had special dad shoes, everything for comfort.
Oh, dude, let me tell you something. That's right, the New Balance, where you shamed me and gave me and I got pedophile and everything. I don't know why. Again, I don't know why the pedos go for those shoes.
I think we said they were the single dad 11s or something.
And then I started experimenting from there. Like, I had to shift out of my damn shell toes and my Pumas and shit, everyday wear.
Yeah.
Into something I could everyday wear. And, man, it took me a while, but I got there.
Yeah. What's your go-to now?
Now it's the Adidas Bounce. Alpha Bounce. I tried to boost. The boost is weird. I just have a shitty foot. I have a really high arch. I've got Charcot-Marie tooth disease. I got that disease. I got two diseases, bro.
Wait, what's that one?
That's a disease. A lot of people have it. I've talked about it before, but you're missing a layer. And I always get it wrong. So it's like the protective layer around your nerves and things like that in your legs. So from the knees down, the people's legs look like inverted champagne bottles. And for all the soccer I've played over the years, my calves should be tree trunks. But yeah. We went to Hopkins. And we had to get tested. My dad took us to get tested.
Oh, so this is like when you were a kid, you got tested.
Yeah, well, he had them. His brother had them. My grandfather had them. And it was like, what is this shit? We always were getting sprained ankles a lot. Yeah. I have a sprained ankle. So he took us to Hopkins, and they did these tests. And I mean, dude, they take needles and put them in between the webs of your toes and wiggle them. They're like, tell me when you can feel it. I'm like, I can feel that. I can feel it. Like, I felt it. I know what it's going to feel like before you put it in. I know that's going to hurt. And then the one that's the worst, though, is they take this, like, it's like a little horseshoe magnet almost. And it's a electric vibrating thing, like electric impulses. And they put it up next to that bone on your ankle, the outside. Oh, and they put it under there, and then they fire that thing up, and they say,
this is how they test.
Yeah, because your nerves don't work properly. And they're trying to be like, when do you feel this shit? I'm like, I fucking feel it now.
called?
The disease is called Charcot-Marie tooth disease. It's named after, like, the three scientists, I think, that discovered
and
it.
And the whole fam's got it? I mean, your brothers and...
Both. So all three... Yes. Everybody. Yeah, all three brothers and my dad. I don't know about his dad and their side.
Aren't genetics a blast?
It's like, terrible.
I wish I could have gotten, like, a cool genetic gift. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, I've met a fucking 15-year-old kid with a 43-inch vertical. I'm like, God damn it.
I got no fast twitch muscle fibers. I've got no speed, no vertical. Yeah, I don't.
No, I have extra earwax. Yeah.
Yeah, I got my dad hypertension told me, like, and high cholesterol, like, bro. That's cool. What I got.
It's a really cool trait to pass down.
That's, factor five. So I had to get...
Do your brothers have that too?
No. So this is the crazy thing. It either comes from one parent or two, and two is much worse. Fortunately for me, my mother went and got tested. She doesn't have it. Both my brothers get tested. They don't fucking have it.
Did your dad have it?
He had to have it. It had to be him, and I'm the only asshole out of the crew that fucking got it.
Yeah. All right. Shit.
But that's also... So
that means that Stella might
yes,
get it?
She's got to be tested later. But also, this is a thing that no one knows they have until they know they have it. Like, obviously, I've had it since birth.
What was the indicator for you on that one?
My leg... So I got kidney stones, and I was stuck in bed for months.
I think I remember that.
A month. And my legs started clotting. And I was like, why the fuck are my legs clotting?
How do you know they were clotting, though?
Because I was in the movie theater, and I was watching the first Star Wars where they killed Han Solo. Sorry about that spoiler alert, y'all. And
wait, what?
I'm rubbing my legs through my jeans. It just felt weird, and I could feel the veins through my jeans like a topographical map. And I was
what?
Like, and I called the hospital because I'd been in there for the kidney stones, and they go, "Look, that's a sign of clotting. You need to come here right now." So I drove from the movie theater right to the hospital.
Did you finish the movie?
I did. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, come on, buddy.
Yeah, it's a $15 ticket, man. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna fucking.
They didn't sound like it. And here's what's crazy too, and I'll never forget this. I'm driving home. I'm on the 405 north from the 101 up the hill. Uh-huh. It's like 9 o'clock at night. And this car in the left, I'm in the right far lane.
On the 405.
The only thing next to me is the right-hand shoulder. And there's a car in the far left lane, a little bit up the HOV lane.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the guy did. I don't know if he cut quick or tried to avoid something or... Dude starts 360 across the freeway, and everyone, we're all slowing down. I'm like, holy shit. This guy slow-mo spins, this far in front of my car, and then lands and stops right next to me, facing the other way. Two people, and I go, holy shit, man, are you guys all right? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, holy shit, dude. But it was like a Toyota, you know what I mean? This wasn't some... handling it just was all the way across, and I was like, man, I almost got killed going to get these clots fixed.
Dude, one time I was in Florida, I was a teenager, and it had rained a little bit. I was in a car, and I was just being dumb. I turn and I gun it, and the road was wet, and the car just started to spin. But there's cars around, and I'm like, oh shit! So I just let go, and the car starts sliding towards a semi, with a rig on the back. And I was like, oh fuck, I'm gonna just slide into this thing, and it's gonna be catastrophic. And there was nothing I could do because it was just sliding, and it just slid, and it stopped like this far from the truck. And I was like,
you lucky.
And then you just kind of, I just like drive away, like, oh, okay, don't do that again.
I had that happen to me in the rain too. I drove that big Dodge Aspen station wagon, and we were barreling through the rain. Those tires were bald. The belts were sticking out of the fucking things. And I remember this guy, I just thought he was going to turn. He had plenty of room to do it, but he decided he wasn't going to do it. And then I hit the brakes, and we're just hydroplaning the whole way. I let go. And we have time to have a conversation. My friend's like, are we going to hit him? I'm like, yeah, we're going to crush this guy. We're going to crush this guy. And I remember putting my hand over here on his chest. And I mean, same thing. At the last possible second, he just casually made that left. And we were like, I mean, right behind him. Fuck, man.
Did I ever tell you that I got in a car accident the day after I got my driver's license?
No.
This was so depressing.
The day after.
It was super depressing. So when I was, first of all, when I was like 15, I never had a learner's.
You just went straight to driving?
At 16. So I had, and no driving experience.
How did you even do that?
Well, here's the fucked up part. I remember that when I was like 15 and 10 months, one of my older cousins visited and was like, oh, let's drive my car around the neighborhood. And I told my dad, I was like, I'm going to ride with my cousin. And he was like, you don't have a license. And I go, I know, and he flipped out because he's so about rules and like just exploded. I was like, I won't do it. I won't drive with him. Just so upset. Then I asked him if I could ride with him in the car just to practice. And he was like, you don't have a license. Like just went crazy again. I was like, all right. So.
But you don't need to have a license. You only need a learner's permit to have him in the car.
But I didn't have that, and I was like,
You just wanted to get behind the wheel.
Yeah, and also, like, let me practice. No. Yeah. So, anyway, the day I turned 16, I go, I take the test. I remember I took it with this old piece of shit in the passenger seat who I was like, we were driving in a parking lot. He was like, go up here, turn here. And I go, I pulled up, and in the parking lot, I go, do you want me to stop here like I would on a road or just continue because we're in this parking lot? And he goes, this is a test. And yeah. I was like, I know, but I'm saying because there's no stop sign here. And he goes, so? What would you do? And I was like, just never mind, man. So I just, you know, I drive. After the test, he tells me I passed everything but that. I was like.
Did you fail because of that, though?
No, I still passed. You passed. He was like, but you had that wrong. And I was like, okay. I get my license, go home, and you're just like jonesing to drive, right? Like, it's just so exciting. And also, like, I'd grown up just as a kid, like a lot of kids, a car fanatic, right? Like, I just played with toy cars and photos of cars, and I have car mag. I just want to drive. And the feeling is like such a rush. So the next day I have school. I come home and I'm like, I want give me an errand to run. And I'm like, I have my little sister. I go, we're going to go to McDonald's. And they're like, okay. And my parents are going to a black tie event that night. So they're like, okay, yeah. Like it's a few hours after school. They're like, go there, go to the drive-thru, get food, come home. But it'll be like, you can drive, right? So we get in the car, I drive, go to the drive-thru, we leave, we're headed home now. We're on US 1.
How far from McDonald's to home?
From McDonald's to home, I think it would probably be, I'm trying to think here, I think it's about a 10-minute drive. So I'm at an intersection on US 1 and another street, and it's probably like around 5. So it's pretty, you know, it's a small town, but it's traffic for that time. Well, here's the thing, because I have zero experience, I don't know. This is like, it sounds so crazy now, but I realized that I'd never put it together that if you're in the left-hand turning lane on a green light, mm-hmm. not a green yeah. arrow,
right.
but a green light,
oh, yeah.
that you yield, obviously, to oncoming cars. So it turns green, and I'm like, there's cars going. And I'm like, oh, and then I kind of am putting together, like, I think I'm supposed to go. I don't know the rule at all at this time. And so then
you know what would help with that?
What?
Some driving experience.
Yeah, some driving experience. Yeah,
yeah. yeah that would have helped.
That would have helped.
Yeah, one time.
Dude. So I see like some space between the car that just came by and the next car. I'm like, oh, well, I'll just go now. So I go, and the car that's oncoming hits the rear, like rear passenger and rear tires, right? Crushes
hard.
It hard. Car just goes pow.
How old's your sister?
Well, I'm 16.
13.
So she's probably 12.
Damn. Two little kids in the car.
Yeah. And that the impact split the rear axle.
Holy shit.
So it's
what are you driving?
It's a Toyota Avalon.
Damn.
Four-door sedan.
Yeah.
Rear axle splits.
That's a wide body Toyota yeah. too. That thing split.
And I'm like, fuck. So first
and
thing
who
I
hit,
do.
Who is it? Who hit you?
A lady who, she's just like looking, you know, she's probably like 55. And she's just like.
And there's no airbag or anything.
She doesn't come and say like, are you okay?
She's just out looking. What?
Just looking. I'm like. Jesus Christ, like, come fucking ask us if we're all right.
Are you able to get out and stuff? Are you
able to get out? But the first thing I do, there's a car, like the mounted car phone in the car. And I call, and my dad answers the phone, and I just go, I crashed.
That's it. That's what you said.
Yep. He's like, hello. I go, I crashed. And he's like, where are you? And I tell him. Dude, he shows up in his black tie gear, tuxedo, like with the tie off, you know? And he's just like, he shows up. Also, fire, police, ambulance, everyone's there. Like, it's a huge intersection crash on a major street at that time. So here's the thing is, like, I'm like, you're right. My sister, she's like more emotionally worked up. She's like, and they go, the paramedic comes over. He goes, are you okay? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, do you feel like off at all? And she's like, I mean, he's like, are you like at all uncomfortable? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, get the stretcher. So I was like, God damn it. So like she's sitting. I'm like, you need a stretcher? And she's like, I don't know. Because he had asked her like a leading question.
Of course,
and she goes, yes, like I do feel bad. And he's like, stretcher.
It's like he gets $20 every time somebody gets on the stretcher. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Head down. And I'm like.
It looks so scary.
Oh, yeah. Like, no. And then she starts crying more. She's like.
Throw a thumbs up. The way into the fucking
into the tunnel. He'll walk again.
But you guys didn't go to the hospital or anything?
Well, yeah. So this is the best part. I was like, God damn. So first of all, you know, I'm one day into my driver's license.
Yeah, day one.
And I also am like, I'm believing that I'm a good, like, I'll be a good driver. My older sister, by the way, is a horrific driver. Has double-digit car accidents and tickets and stuff. Yeah.
For real?
Out of this world.
That's crazy.
Out of this world. You've never
double digit car accidents and tickets.
Yes, she got a ticket going 105 and a 55.
Holy shit, that's jail time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, dude, she has.
That's like reckless drive. They'll throw everything at you.
They told her. They're like, you know, we could take you to jail right now. We could take your car. They told her, they're like, what the fuck? Like my dad goes, what the fuck are you doing? And she goes, I was dancing.
Like dancing, driving, didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She backed up one time. She backed up into a light post, but it was to drive across the street. So she hit that. She hit a parked car once. She hit the island at a gas station. She hit the pole exiting a parking lot.
God damn, dude.
She's T-boned a car. She's been T-boned. Just countless. Every way that you could fuck up a car, she's done it. So anyways, she's a couple years older than me. She's already like had a few of these. And now I'm like, God damn it, man. So we go to the hospital and we're sitting in this waiting room. My mother's, of course, traumatized. You know, her baby is in there. And then I feel totally guilty. Like, my dumbass, not knowing that rule, got my fucking sister in the hospital. And I just feel so low and so badly. I'm like, fuck. And I just don't know. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm just so depressed in the moment. And they're like, it's okay. Like, you didn't know. And, you know, she's going to be all right. And I'm like, I know. I just feel like such a piece of shit. I ruined your nut.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now. Now at kosai.org.
I ruined the car.
The axle.
Yeah, the axle split. And then as I'm sitting there and they're like, it's okay. I'm like, all right. Then a Florida highway patrolman comes in. He's like, sorry about, you know, what happened. Here's also your ticket for the violations.
Oh, like, my God. Yeah, you got to get all that. That's what he's giving them to.
In the hospital
waiting
room.
Got 47 points right now. But
he's like, you just sign right here. That's a $380 ticket. And then I was like, cool.
He probably got one guy on the force.
Yeah.
You know, the soft-spoken guy. Yeah. Like, send Larry in to do that. Like, hey,
Larry talks to kids well. Yeah. I was like, cool.
Well, this is a perfect thing to talk about because we got some updates I want to share with everybody about the Honeydew. But also I want to tell you, so my stepson is 16. He has his learner's permit now. And we've been out driving, and we're on quarantine, can't do anything. So I put a bunch of GoPros in the car and on the car. And I'm starting a new series called, just a little short web series called Learner's Permit, where I take him out and teach him how to drive and shit like left-hand turn lanes and arrows and just about life in general.
Let me tell you something. I get that turn right every time now. I never fuck that one up.
Well, learner's permit will be available soon.
That sounds cool.
It's fun. I'm working on it. And as soon as we're off quarantine, what I'd love to do is have introduce every once in a while a backseat driver and have like you and other comedians pop up.
You know what
up
I've always would
and
love
talk to
do
him about that.
I would love to do that and do it in a like a high horsepower car that makes a 16-year-old go like, "Oh fuck."
What, let him drive it? I'll be the one going, oh, fuck. He can't handle that. He can't handle that at all. He wants to, though. He loves that shit.
I wanted to do that to Bert's daughter.
You're such a car guy. You know what the type of cars he loves? There's a Subaru that he loves.
Some people are. That is a lane that has it's like a cult following.
I mean, he loves all your cars.
Yeah, but
he loves your cars. But he'll see it every now and then. We'll see it. He goes, that Subaru. That one. But that, I'm like,
you know who's
Subaru?
A devout Subaru guy, too? Is Tosh.
Oh, yeah?
He loves Subarus.
Yeah, he loves them. Swears by this car. Yeah. He grew up on like guys like Ken Block and all these racers, and it would just, you know, tear it up.
I mean, I have a feeling that like it must be a thing where if you have one, you don't leave them because so far.
They got age on them, and he's like, that car's badass.
Yeah.
Like, really, that one, huh?
Yeah.
So learner's permit's coming. I'd love to have you. If you trust him to drive your ass around, I'm not getting in a high power car, you two motherfuckers. There is no way. But also some updates on the Honeydew. So, you know, with everything going on with this coronavirus and social distancing being 6 feet, it's odd to me that James Brown would not be able to be between us right now.
I know.
Just you know that. What do you mean you know? 6'3", you say you would be.
He would.
You say if we sat on the the head end of James Brown. I was at his
feet. We can have a perfect conversation.
It'd I'm saying fine. No. We're fucking 4 inches too close.
There's 6 foot 6 feet between us at that point.
Six.
Five. It'd be just like having Michael Jordan lay between us.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on. So let's update everybody with what's going on with the Honeydew. So crazy things are going on right now. Obviously, you got where we record now. Maybe hours are going to be limited, staff limited, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot going on. I do not live near here. I live on the west side. If this shit gets any worse and we aren't able to record anywhere, we're going to have to do it at our homes.
Yep.
Probably. Are you prepared to do that?
Well, we started a transition to do that about 2 weeks ago. So I took a bunch of cables, mics, mic arms, everything to the house to start doing your mom's house from the house.
Yep.
Literally the next day, the mayor announced the stay-at-home policy we have here in L.A. with permission for media that we fell under to keep doing it, which is the only... Because our next thing was going to be to bring video equipment home and start setting that up, which is still... a possibility.
It may have to happen.
But yeah, it's been, and like this week we were supposed to come in yesterday to do our podcast that is now, was moved to tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I just got the message that it's now going to be moved to set. It's all because of like
fucking crazy
coverage for someone to watch our kids and that person's been sick. So yeah, it's all crazy right now.
Yeah, my daughter's mother actually she's a badass audio mixer. She works at Fox, and they make her go in. They're still making her go.
Really?
And every day she goes in, they take everyone's temperature. If you have a fever, your ass is out. They don't let you in. But she's considered essential as well.
Wow.
So they're being great about it. They're even giving them hazard pay. They're giving them like $9 an hour on top of what they make.
That's great to still have a gig, though.
Yeah, hell yeah. Because I don't have anything for this foreseeable future, but you can get your goddamn night pants at RyanSickler.com. Stay comfy.
Get them night pants.
You can check out Learner's Permit, too. That's coming. But what we're going to do with the Honeydew, so I am going to move out of this studio and put it in, I'll just say where it is. It's a Santa Monica Music Center. So my neighbor, her family has owned it for like 50 years. There's one in Santa Monica. There's one in Culver City. And it's pretty close to where I live, so I'm going to rent a studio out of the back of that, flip that to the Honeydew studio, and then I'll be coming at you right from there, same format, same everything. We're going to keep the Honeydew, I believe, as a featured channel on the YMH page, so if you're on the YouTube, it's there under you guys, you and Christina, and I believe the highlights and stuff. But what I've asked to do that I'd like to do, because it's just time and I need to do it, we're going to move. You can still get to me from the YMH channel, but we're going to move the Honeydew episodes to my YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're cool with that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anything you want to do, I'm 100% supportive of. I'm your biggest fan.
It's a crazy time. Yeah. So if you guys want to help the Honeydew and help support me and keep this thing going on video, just go subscribe to my YouTube page. You're going to get Learner's Permit there. You're going to get the Honeydew there. You're going to get more stand-up clips there. And then I want to announce something else, too, that I'm doing. I'm going to start a Patreon called the Honeydew with Y'all. And over the last year and a half, I've gotten so many amazing stories that I think it's time that they're told. So what I'm going to tell you to do now is go to my website, RyanSickler.com, subscribe to my email, and then send me just a quick paragraph of what your story is, why you think it should be heard. And then I'm keeping it one tier. It's $5 a month. I'm going to try to give you several episodes a month while we're on lockdown. We'll Zoom them or something like that. I'll video you in, and then we'll put them up, and you get to hear the Honeydew with y'all. So I can't wait to hear your stories. And as so many of them, you sent them. I will go back through them, but
and
so
I would say this. On. I would jump on this because people will need. You'll need to say it over and over and over for all those things, but especially on YouTube. Go now.
Yes.
To YouTube, the Honeydew, and subscribe now, and say that every episode.
Yes.
Because that fan base will subscribe. You just got to keep saying it.
Yep. Go right now and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Go check out 9 Inches with your boy Tom Segura. That's on there, where James Brown is 5'6".
Almost 6'8", some people say.
6'8", almost. Yeah. Could you imagine if a guy 6'8", could really dance the way he could?
It'd be
though.
Like LeBron James doing it.
Yes.
Who I think can actually dance.
But like that? Yeah,
no,
like
not
that.
Like that. No one could do that.
You got to be closer to the fucking earth for that kind of shit.
Let's see. Yeah.
Oh, Nadav over there is telling us that the URL will be in the YouTube description of this video. So that the URL for my YouTube? Yeah. So you'll be able to click on that and... subscribe right away. And if you ever get confused, the feature channel is always on YMH. So can you scroll down? What else is on there? That's it.
Right.
So I wanted to tell you this too. This made me laugh. Our buddy Eric Snyder, who we drank and hung out with in Richmond, Virginia at your show. Remember, you remember Snyder?
Yeah, yeah.
Told me this story the other day. This made me laugh so hard.
He was he slept sitting up,
dude. Not only did he sleep sitting up, his wife was like, "Okay, you can stay and drink with them, but you've got a meeting in the fucking morning.
You gotta be there.
You cannot miss it. You can't miss it." He's like, "I'll be there. I'll be there." And then he drank. I mean, he drank the wine out of the fucking bitty, like everything. He drank it all. And I set an alarm for like, it was an early. He had to leave at like, I want to say 6.
Yeah.
I set the alarm.
Early, man.
Yeah. For 5:30. I wake up. I'm like, "Eric, get up, get up." We slept in the same bed. He's in the same king bed as me. I'm like, "Get up. You got to go and do your thing." He's like, "Okay." And he leaves. And I don't know. We had a long night. I slept in, probably got up 10:30. And I fully get ready. I go, "I think we're going to meet you or something." I walk out, and the room was big enough to have this little entrance area. And there was a wingback chair. And this motherfucker is sitting upright in it, asleep. I go, "Eric, you didn't go to your meeting." He goes, "Oh, I guess I missed it." He sat down in that chair to put his shoes on and passed out upright.
Yeah. Sitting up.
Sitting up. Yep, and never made it to the
Well, that meeting. Night, the night before, I was in your room with you guys, and I kept looking. I go, "He's not going to that meeting tomorrow." Because he's just like, "We got another
like,
one.
I'll be there. I'll be there."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was.
But he told me a story like a month or so ago. I guess he was at the gym, and he goes, "I got to tell you this. This just happened. It made me laugh." And he's in there, and it's him. There's a black dude in there, and then this white dude with his two little kids. And the three of them had just gotten out of the pool. And the little kid looks at his dad and goes, "Dad, why is your penis so small?" And the black guy out loud goes, "Oh, damn." He said he was dying, dude. Dying. "Why is your penis so small?" "Oh, damn." Oh, shit, dude. I don't know. I know your dad embarrasses you, but have you ever had any time where, like... That's what parents do, though.
Yeah,
know?
They do. They do.
Like, my dad used to.
They both do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my dad would do it intentionally. Like, there was a time where we had this station wagon I mentioned. It's this 1977. It's a Dodge Aspen limited edition.
Oh, excuse me.
Wood panel, maroon, dark tinted windows around.
Limited, y'all.
Limited edition play. You know, pleather seats. And that, I talk about that early power steering. Remember early power steering where if you just like, touched it, the car like it was so unnecessary. Like nobody needs to steer like
right.
that. High beams down on the floor, you know. And we're in Ocean City, Maryland. It's the middle of summer, and it's coastal highway, which is it's not like the PCH, but it is in the fact that if there's one asshole breaks down, we're sitting forever.
Yeah,
you know, and that's where we are, and we're cooking in the fucking sun. The AC's blowing hot air; it's not working, and I'm trying to roll my window down, and it squeaks, those electric, you know, and it goes a quarter up, you know, and he's putting it back up, and I'm going down, and just this car of these, I'm probably 13, a carload of these fucking hot seniors, they're all in senior week, pull up next to us, these girls are hot, and I'm just staring at them, and all of a sudden I hear, and I see it go down. I'm like, "Dad," and I'm trying to roll it up. And he locked it up front. He's like, "Hey, girls."
Oh, no.
I'm like, "Dad." He's like, "Hey, girls, it's my son Ryan right here. You think he's cute?" And I'm like, "Oh, my fucking God, Dad, shut." You know, I'm down here like, "Shut up." He's like, "Tell him, Ryan. He's doing a lot of push-ups now. You know, what are your grades, Ryan? Tell him what your grades are." I'm like, "Oh, my God." He made the Presidential Physical Fitness Award. I'm like, "Shut the fuck up."
Did they at least entertain it or no? They did.
Oh, they loved it. I was humiliated. He did it too. And I've been emailing with him, thank you as well. But DMC from Run DMC is going to come on the Honeydew eventually when all this shit's over.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been going back and forth. And that night, I'm going to tell him this too. I still have the ticket stub. My dad took us to see, it was me, my two brothers, and my buddy Shannon, and took us with his dad to see Run DMC and the Beastie Boys together forever at the Capitol Center in D.C. I think we're like 13, 14.
You remember
maybe?
The show?
Oh, yeah. It was the Beastie Boys' License to Ill. They had the girls dancing in the cages back when they were the beer, you know, throwing and everything else before they got to Check Your Head and all that stuff. But what I really remember is my dad doing that shit again because we're all in a row and right behind us in this row. And like I say, I'm probably the same age, right in that pocket, 13, 14, 15. And these girls are right here in this row. They're college girls or whatever. And here, hey, girls, this is my son, Ryan. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Dad. You know, I can't. Oh, my God. Kept doing that the whole time. I'm like, look at him. You think he's cute? Girls, you think he's cute? I'm like, shut the fuck up, Dad. I'm trying to watch Run DMC.
Oh, my God. My dad, like, see, that's awareness. That he's doing something embarrassing.
Yeah.
My dad's is totally unintentional.
Well, I mean, I would get that too, but he never did intentional shit.
No.
My dad would do this one
that
a lot.
That wasn't his thing.
We'd go to like Target or whatever, Kmart back then. There's no Target. And we'd be in the fishing aisle looking at lures or whatever, mm-hmm. and he would drop a fart, but he wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And then he would casually move to the other side, and then it would hit us or the other people. We'd be like, oh, my God. I would hear him on the other side laughing so hard.
Yeah,
like,
my dad definitely likes a fart thing. Like he actually, I was writing about this the other day about how he has so many shit and fart stories that he's told so many times that they have titles, you know? So he'll,
titles.
Yeah. He's like he'll refer to them. He's like, Orlando Airport. And I'm like, yeah, I remember. So he does, he's like, remember the movie theater? And I'm like, oh, God. Because one time we went as a family to the movies. And it was like the movie was starting. I want to say it's like in the first few minutes of the movie. And we're all in one row, our family, and then the rows in front of us are full. Dude, he dropped. My dad had diverticulitis.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bunch of intestines removed, like emergency surgery when he was like early 40s.
And what was that because of?
That's a inflation that happens in your large intestines, right? It's a digestive.
Is that hereditary?
I don't know. I think it might be.
Better get ready.
Yeah, I know. So he... ever since then, he said, you know, everything was different with his digestive tract. But his farts are fucking, I mean, everybody says like their dad can fart. I'm telling you, I've never been around anything like this. And I shared a hotel room with him like a few years ago where he farted. And I was like, man, fuck you. I love and I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. I came back 35 minutes later and it smelled like someone shit in the room.
Like just hanging in there?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So
we were in the theater, and my dad farted. Well, it wasn't audible. You just all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God.
And you know it's one of his.
It's like a guy pulled his pants down and shit in the eye. So
is that right?
It's so strong. Yeah. So immediately, you see like my mom go, I don't, right? Like she's just like, I don't. And then all of us are like, oh, my God. And you see him, he's like this. And literally, you count one, two, three in front of us.
They
10 people
up.
Stand up, and they all left. They all went to like
it
different
was that
seats.
Bad.
Everybody left, and then his family left too. We all got up,
yeah,
like, and we left. And then there's my dad alone, and 25 empty chairs around him. And eventually, my mom was like, "We should go sit back next to him." Like I feel badly. I'm like, "I don't. I don't feel badly at all." But he'll refer. He's like, "Remember that movie theater?" Like, he says it like.
Right.
Remember that game where you hit a fucking home run? I'm like, yeah, that was great.
My grandmother had an epic one, and it was one that was just so funny that we would make her tell the story again and again. Like, it never got old to us because she would laugh, and she had a laugh. I mean, we all have a different laugh. I probably have more of a laugh like my dad, but my grandmother would get in this one where she would get in that where she can't breathe either, and she'd be like, and then it would be a pause, and then a boom, and then a boom, you know, and it just kept going till She told me one time she was in a cab with my Aunt Marguerite, her sister, and those two started laughing about something, and she laughed so hard she peed her pants, but that made her laugh harder, and she couldn't tell my Aunt Marguerite, so she just took her hand and put it in her crotch so she could feel it. She started laughing so hard she peed herself. The cabbie's like, I don't know what the hell you two are laughing at back there, but this has been a fun ride. She's like, yeah, wait till you can see that back seat, boy. So my grandmom goes, she and a cousin Jimmy of ours both have the same birthday. It's like December 9th, years apart, but the same day. So they would always go get like a coffee and breakfast.
I don't want to forget something. I have to write it down.
Yeah.
Hold on. Because this is with you. Hold on.
Oh, is this what I'm thinking?
I don't know.
The cup man fart story?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's not the story where you shit in the guy's mouth, literally?
No.
Not that one?
No.
So anyway, they have the same birthday. They're gone. They usually get like a breakfast and a coffee or whatever together in the morning. So she gets coffee and she's like, Ryan, it hit me. It got me.
This is who? Your aunt?
It's my grandma.
Wait, I think I know this.
And she went back to the bathroom.
Yeah.
She tells my cousin, just wait here. And she said, Ryan, I had diarrhea so bad. She's like, and I wasn't touching that toilet. You know, and they're in Baltimore City and she just pulls her shirt up, pants down. She goes to the bathroom and she goes, I turn around, I wipe, I turn around to go flush. And she goes, there's nothing in the toilet. I'm like, what? She's like, it's sprayed all over the wall, like a lion. You know what I mean? Like all over the wall. She's like, oh my God. She's panicking. Like, oh my God. So she's washing her hands and trying to get the fuck out of there. And right then, an employee comes in to clean the restroom. And my grandmother just looks at this lady and she goes, some sick son of a bitch did that in there. And then just hauled ass, grabbed my cousin Jimmy. She's like, we got to get the hell out of here. And he's like, I'm not done my coffee. She's like, I'll buy you another coffee. We got to get the fuck out of here. Shit all over their wall.
Who were we hanging out with? Do you remember we were talking? Man.
What you just wrote down?
Yes.
Yeah.
That we were hanging out in a group of guys. And somebody, remember we were, it's vaguely coming to me. We're hanging out with a group of guys. And there was one guy who wasn't, I guess, like part of our circle. And we were talking about like a hot chick. And the guy went overboard. Do you remember? Like, oh yeah, she's hot. And then the guy was like, man, I'd love to split her in half and fuck her till she shits. And we were like, what?
No. I don't know.
And he kept saying that kind of stuff. And everybody was like, all right. You don't remember that?
No.
Dude, I feel like it was you. I'm trying to think of like the group, because it wasn't comics. It was like, I felt like it was either Grindstaff or, and there was somebody else like in this circle that we were talking, and we all walked away and we were like, that guy's fucking going to kill somebody.
This wasn't your cousin that got drunk in Vegas and started saying shit where we all had to eventually just get away from the table. Like, yeah, you're going to be playing this blackjack on your own, man.
No. Or my other cousin that was singing.
Yeah.
Drunk. Every time people are saying crazy shit, they're drunk. But this was not a drunk guy, man. God, I wish. Dude, this is going to come to you at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it is. It's going to wake me up. Look, man, I don't know what you've been doing during all this shit, but I can't sleep. I walk the streets.
Really?
Dude, I walk the streets. Yeah, you sleep 8.5 hours. I'm out there at midnight. Oh, so let me tell you what happened last night. This is crazy. So last night I'm outside. I mean, I have developed a weed smoking habit on top of my weed smoking habit. And
really?
I love it. What else am I going to What else? Yeah, you know?
Dude, 8 hours and 15 minutes.
I'm
going to
match it tonight. What app is that?
This is my Whoop.
Oh, it's your Whoop.
Whoop, Whoop.
So I'm out last night. It's probably midnight. And the streets are empty, so I'm just walking. I'm smoking a joint. I think of things, you know. I put them in my notepad. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just very creative at night.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here comes a police SUV. Here comes another one. Here comes another. All headlights off, parking lights only. They're pulling up everywhere. Cops come up. They're like, "You see anybody running through here?" I go, "No, just people walking their dogs." All right, they pull away. And then they do it again. Come by. You see a guy look like this. You hear anybody screaming or yelling? I go, I've been out here for 10 minutes just getting some fresh air, and I haven't
heard that at
all. Are you holding a joint or anything?
Yeah, yeah. They're all talking to me. But they got bigger problems right now. Yeah. Some real shit's going on. But there's like eight of them. They're pulling in every direction. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, let me get the fuck in the house. You know, yeah. I'm not going to be that white guy. It's like, what's going on out here? And, you know, and I'll read about it. I got the citizen app. You know what I'm saying?
Is it over there? It's all loud over there.
Heard it coming from that way, guys. You know,
I'll take the lead.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure he's over here. Let me put on my iPhone flashlight. But they're flashlighting everything. So today I find out that apparently the building behind or diagonal from us, some home intruder got in. The dude got him and was holding him down. He was screaming, call the police. I got him, call the police. And then I guess the dude got away and hauled ass out of there. And they were all looking for him. I'm just out there smoking a fucking joint, minding my business. But I didn't hear anybody.
Holy shit, man.
It's been crazy. The place behind me has been, it burned down. There's just fucking, the people.
Really?
The people moved, well, it didn't burn down. It got burned down. The people moved out.
This is the building behind you?
The building
whole building?
Me. So the people moved out, and the dude, I guess he sold it, and they're demoing the building to build these new, nice, high-rise condos. But in the meantime of that building being vacant, it's been taken over by squatters and homeless, crazy homeless people, like crazy shit. They've set two fires, all the kind of shit's going on. So, I don't know, a week and a half ago, they set it on like legit on fire.
This is the demoed?
Yeah, the demo, because they're all, so it had to be boarded up, fenced.
Oh,
and the police always say we can't do anything, you know, we can
just burned it down.
They fucking set it on fire, like this is the second time, but this time for like
it's a big ass fire.
It looked like when I got to my, I had to drive home, I wasn't home, we're all getting these texts like get home, because it was huge. There were like a hook and ladder. It must have been eight fire trucks, ambulances.
Oh, man.
Like, they treated this shit like it was, you know.
Was anybody in there?
Well, I was kept waiting to hear. We got a dead body in there, and I haven't heard yet. No. But.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
They burned it down. It was, the fire department said, look, if this thing would have been, if we would have got this call right after midnight, we would have reduced our staff because they'd be spread out everywhere else, and you guys would have been fucked. This would have spread to every building around here, and this whole corner would have gone up. But they were, dude, that LA fire department was on top of shit.
Do you remember when I lived with Chuck and my neighbor got murdered?
I do now, yeah. That was the house where I was dog sitting.
They used to shoot transsexual porn upstairs, or my neighbor upstairs.
There was an upstairs in that house?
Yeah. This is the one that he and I moved to.
The picket fence around the yard?
Yeah. It was a two-story.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And they would come. He would bring actors.
Yeah.
To
thespians.
Thespians. They would park by my bedroom, and the staircase to his place was by my bedroom. So I would see them walk up the stairs like, hi. And then he would have production lights in his apartment. You know, you'd be like, the fuck are they shooting up there? Because, and then you would just hear.
You'd hear that shit?
Oh, yeah. And moaning and yeah. So they were, that would be upstairs. And then if you walk out our front door, you know, like that we normally you'd see from our living room, you open the front door, there's a house across the street, and then the one to the right, that guy, they shot him. He got killed, shot him with a shotgun 7 times.
Come on.
Yeah.
That is personal.
Yeah. On the driveway, in the driveway.
Were you guys home?
Yeah.
What?
But here's the thing. I was in a dead sleep because it happened.
You sleep good, bro.
I sleep good.
Right there.
There it is. There it is.
I wish you guys happened to be watching Boogie Nights and it was that scene so you didn't know the shots were real. You know? I thought it was the movie, man.
All I remember was I was asleep and then Chuck standing over me. Tommy. And I'm like, what? He's like, do you hear that? I'm like, I'm asleep. What are you talking about? He's like, you didn't hear that? I'm like, no, dude. And then he's like, it sounded like really loud bang. And I was like, I didn't hear anything. I hear you talking to me.
Yeah.
And then not even a few minutes later, just, and it was LAPD detectives already there.
So they
said that with that type of gun that he was shot, they emptied it and reloaded and shot him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That would take like a minute to do yeah. seven of those.
Yeah. And they shot him in the driveway on top of his car.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Holy
unsolved.
Shit.
Unsolved.
They never got anyone for it.
They're scared of that guy.
They said he was dealing drugs.
I mean, I'm watching this guy out back. This is like 2 weeks ago. There's a homeless guy in there and he's having a standoff with the police.
Really?
He's screaming, you're going to have to fucking kill me. He's got a pipe and shit. And this dude's, they've threatened people. They're fucking our cars up. Like, it's just been a problem all over the neighborhood. Everyone's going to these court meetings, whole thing.
This is recent?
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half ordeal of this shit. Damn. And so we're like, oh my God, are they going to fucking kill this guy right now? He's screaming, you're going to have to fucking kill me. You're going to have to kill me. And I'm not. And then the cop's like, we're just going to leave. We're like, wait, what? The whole building's out there. Like, you're going to leave? Like,
why?
Finally, we can do so. He's threatening you. They're like, he's just crazy. It's not worth it. And then I was like, oh, you guys are worried. He's got the coronavirus, and you don't want to put him in the fucking car with you. That's exactly what they're worried. All of them are. Yeah. They're not arresting anybody right yeah. now. No violent crimes.
No.
That's what I was saying. Even those cops weren't going to fuck with me. First of all, it's legal enough. And second of all, there's somebody that's breaking into people's homes. Why don't you go chase that guy? I'm out here trying to get some fresh air.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. That's some wild shit, though.
It's been crazy going on, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the. So the next thing was.
I have something I want to ask you about that's what? Kind of a honeydew job. Well, tell me what.
No, so they came and they distributed flyers for their, like, we're seeking someone for this.
Hey, we're looking for the guy that yeah. took his time and shot this motherfucker in his driveway on his car.
With a shotgun. Seven times.
So if you have any information. Yeah, call right. Nail, I'm going to tell you who that is. That guy doesn't give a fuck.
Well, this is just.
That guy doesn't give a fuck.
This will show you how my brain works and how it's not equipped for the corporate.
You gave him info?
No. I had.
You're crazy, dude. I wouldn't have said. I'm like,
no, I didn't give. I didn't give any info. I didn't do anything. What happened was they gave us those flyers, and I thought it was so ridiculous. So I was working in post-production at the time, and my boss was like, oh, I know you do comedy. Will you do, we're having this end of the week, we have to do this presentation. We have to do a meeting, a big meeting in the conference room. You know, it has like 30 people at it. Is there anything you could do to, like, you know, that would be funny? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, like, I don't know, maybe you could like distribute a packet or something and just, you know, maybe put some comedy into it. And I was like, okay.
I just got some flyers.
So I made copies of that homicide flyer, and then I took some other things that I thought were funny, and I had them like professionally put together, and then I distributed it in this meeting. And he was like, "All right, Tom, like take it away." And I was like, "All right."
And he had no idea.
He had no idea what was going to happen. And then there's like, I don't know. Probably like a meme, and then something I wrote, and then this thing, and I was like, and this is also like my neighbor got killed a couple weeks ago, and we're trying to solve it, and he was like, what? I was like, and I started to like try to riff on it, and some people were laughing, and some people were like, what's going on? And I was like, and then somebody was like, oh, he typed this up. Like, he's a comedian. He wrote this up in that conference meeting. And I was like, oh, no. Like, this is
you're
real.
Right about me being a comedian. Yeah. But my neighbor was brutally murdered on the hood of his car.
And like, I thought we could use it to bring some light to this meeting. And they were like, wait, what? What's the funny part?
and then afterwards, and then there's a gif of me right here with a WTF, you know what I was saying? Guys, please put your recycling in the recycle can. If anybody has any information on the brutal murder of my neighbor, please call this number right here.
I thought it was like a funny moment, you know? I remember, too, the other thing was that I never considered that people in the room may have experienced some horrific violence in their life.
Yeah, right.
So afterwards, one of the girls was like, is this real? And I was like, yeah, somebody killed my neighbor. Isn't that crazy? And she was like, yeah, I know a lot of people that have been killed. And I was like, all right.
So do you have flyers? We can add them to next week's pack. Flyer? Let's solve some cases, y'all.
All right, let's have a good week, guys.
Try not to use too many cups out there, guys. Yeah. I saw this again, too. So I got to move. This is the first time I've ever even said this to anybody, but I witnessed something one night. These two guys. Now, this is what I have put together in my head because, again, I don't tell anybody shit and I don't talk to anybody. And there is a security guard that was right there, and I could have answered all his questions, and I was like, I'm not telling anybody shit. But there's a guy that would come home in a white Range Rover blaring his music all the time. And he would always have like a gang of dudes roll with him. And they would always be loud. But they're always coming in 2:30 or 3 in the morning. His alarm would always go off. Same thing every fucking night. But you could he was arrogant, you know, just fucking flashing money and everything. And I just knew he pissed somebody off. Because these two dudes come up the alley one night. I mean, bandana. I could tell one's a black guy. But the other person, I couldn't tell age, race, sex, nothing. They were covered. The only thing I could see on the other guy was this. They walk. They are not in a fucking hurry. They pull out pistols, and they aim at his. Now, meanwhile.
This is where are you?
This is right behind my building. Now, they've walked past everyone else's cars. If they were there for any other reason, they would have shot up every fucking car. They walked right to that gate. They put their guns through, pop, 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 and blew his fucking front up. Okay, and then walked leisurely away from it. Okay, now I was like, holy fuck. And the security guard comes right around the corner, and I'm like, they might have known the fucking security guard and said, we're gonna go do this. Maybe he's in it, but he starts writing up some shit or whatever. I go to bed, I wake up in the morning, the car is gone. Okay, now there's another dude that parks next to him, and these two, they would rival back and forth. Okay. Yeah, I remember this exact. It was this kickoff of football, not of last year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Opening day, and I hear this horrible fucking, like, metal grinding on metal and gears and shit, and then just this loud boom. And I look outside, and the dude that parks next to the dude in the Range Rover who has beef with the guy in the Range Rover drives this big-ass Ford pickup with a fat, like, lift, axles, the whole thing. Dude. The axle is off his truck. It's off. Like, it's, and he's blocking everyone's in and out. So we're stuck. Good thing I got 3.5 hours of football. He had to call a tow truck. Regular tow truck was too small to take it. He had to call a big ass, like, rollback to come get it. And I was like, man, these guys got a fucking feud going on. But yeah, they walked right up. Bah, 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 bah,
bah, and just with guns?
Up. Yes, pistols, handguns, yeah.
In a back alley,
in
just
a back
shot
alley,
up a car.
Right there, shot up a car.
And
yeah.
Then they're like, you want
to
go get lunch? And
then walked away, yeah. Yes. Like, let's go over here and get fucking tacos. Yep. That's exactly what happened.
Wait, what were you going to ask? You said
I was going to ask you about your job that's a honeydew job. You may not want to talk about it, so you might want to edit this. But what I remember when I first met you and Chuck, you guys had a job that I couldn't and still can't. And from every now and then, I'll pass that area. Or it'll come in my head. I'm like, God, but it was at a place called Splash.
Yeah.
Have you talked about that ever?
I feel like I've maybe mentioned it. I've been writing about that, too. I'm writing the whole thing.
You asked me if there's any. That is something. That job.
This is the funny
thing. Can I get a bottle of water, please, real quick?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Sorry.
I may have. Did I crack this one yet?
I don't know. Did you?
No.
Oh, then I'll take here, that. I'll take this one. He didn't crack that one.
I just cracked
Thank
it.
Thank you.
I don't have the COVID plan.
All right. So.
So here's. This is the truth. Okay, when I
explain to people what Splash
is. Well, first I want to say how this I ended up with this. So I get to LA, and you know, you could kind of settle in, and I'm like, I need to get a job. I had come working from like more like career oriented stuff, even though I was so young, but I'd already had a real estate license and worked in real estate. So I felt like that could have been obviously like a career track. And then I worked for America's Most Wanted, and I worked in the research department, and I even helped produce an episode. So I had that, which felt like real work. Mm-hmm. And now I'm coming here and I'm like, oh, I need to get a job. You know what I mean? Like an hourly job. So, and I don't really have, I didn't really have, you know, restaurant experience, anything like that. I'm like, what can I do for like a job? And I see, I forget whether it was in some type of trades or online, but hiring at a spa. And I'm like, oh, I've been to spas. Spas are nice. I could work at a spa, you know, fold some towels and smell eucalyptus all day.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be all right, you know? And I go with Chuck to Splash, the relaxation spa.
Which was also very popular back in the day on Blind Date.
That's where they would end up on Blind. I did not know that when we went there.
Okay.
I found that out. So if you ever watched Blind Date, the old one, not that they just brought it back, but the old one, you know, they throw people together, go on a date, and they would end up always somewhere in a hot tub. And the hot tub was at Splash, because what Splash really was an hourly rental hot tub rooms. It was where you could bring prostitutes, basically. But they
instead
don't
of a fuck motel, it's a right. Fuck tub.
Yeah. Yeah. I just farted so loud.
I thought that was next door. I thought that was noise next door.
I hope the mics picked that up. But Splash. So I get there and I'm literally picturing like there'll be massage therapist, yeah,
Burke Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mud wraps.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's going to be some mud wraps.
Oh, man. So there's a front desk, and the guy who owns it is going to train us. And he starts. So I'm like, I'm sitting here like putting together, because he doesn't just come out and say, this is what this is. I'm like, this is a spa. You know, I've been to a spa before. So I'm like, where are the therapists? Where, you know? So he starts taking us room by room, and it's just. And they have.
I love that you're looking for therapy.
I am. Like that's this what's going to spa.
Yeah, that's what's
this is a spa. Fish. So, I'm like, I walk into this room. He's like, "This is the Barcelona room." I'm like, "Barcelona," what? And it's just a theme. They have like a themed room, and then they have Japanese garden, and then they have like Istanbul, and like just these names with like maybe there's a painting that sort of reflects that name, but it's just a hot tub, and then like a cheap mattress, you know, raised on some type of bedding with sheets and some and then a knob for music. Mm-hmm. And then buttons for the hot tub. I'm like, what the fuck is this, man? So he's like, people come in here, they rent the room by the hour. And I'm like, rent the room by the hour? Then he brings up Blind Date comes here all the time, and I'm like, okay, so where's the other stuff? And he's like, this is it. I'm like, that's what this place is. I'm like, yeah. Well, then he starts training us like how to, before and after people come, you got to put this mixture in the hot tub and then, you know, measure the chlorine, make sure you wipe down everything. Then like there's going to be condoms everywhere. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, people come here on dates. And I'm like, dates? Then he says, you know, some people will come here, but we never advertise that prostitution is something you can do here, but they come here and you should never like encourage it or advertise it, but that's what happens. And I'm like, oh, okay. Takes us through the whole thing, through the whole day of like every room. And I'm like, all right, man. After like one day, Chuck's like, I can't work here. And I'm like, I'll give it a shot. So I'm behind the counter. My favorite thing was this. So everybody's obviously counting their dollars for anything, right? So when you go there, if you say like, I'm Ryan Sickler and I want the Barcelona room. I'm like, okay. And my lady's coming to meet me here in a minute. I'm like, great. You have to wait in the lobby until she gets here. You can't go and wait in that room.
I can't be all just macking in the Barcelona room.
Well, here's the thing. The whole reason for that has to do with billing. Because if you go to the room before she gets there, it could create the idea that you at the end go, well, I was only here from this time. Like, she didn't get here, so I wasn't really using the room.
I see.
So to avoid all that, you always wait for both parties to arrive, and they have to go into the room together. Man, I ended up working there 2 weeks, okay? I had to defend that policy.
Every day.
Every day, all day. People were like, just let me go wait in the room. Because what was happening was they were embarrassed to be meeting someone they don't know to have sex with them, right? So, and I grew to enjoy the feeling of telling them.
Watching them see each other.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh no, you have to wait here. And then they would squirm. You could tell they were like, oh fuck, you know, they didn't want to be waiting in front of people. And of course, I mean, you know, you just go like, oh yeah, just wait here, man. One time there was a guy, he was like, oh, yeah, I just want the room. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, I'm just going to go there. I go, no, you have to wait here. And he was like, oh, no, I can't wait here. I'm like, that's the policy. You can't go into the room until the party arrives completely. And he was like, all right, fuck. And he was like looking at his watch. And he was pacing. He was really nervous. And I'm like, all right. And then whatever, 10 minutes later, these two guys walk in. One of them's kind of rough looking, and they're like, Jim? He's like, Mario? And he's like, Kevin? And they all just kind of meet there. They go into the room together, and like, man, like 6 minutes later.
You can hear you're telling me, too.
But like 6 minutes later, dude splits, and then the other guys leave, and you go in there, and there's just three condoms. Like,
that's what I remember. You told me you set the mop up jizz off the goddamn.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, dude.
One of my last days... one of my last days, because what would happen was I would have thought when I started that we'll run into that prostitution thing. It's the opposite. It's like all prostitutes, but then every once in a while people are like, oh, this does seem like a fun date. So you'd have couples coming in like, we're trying to spice it up, have some fun. I'm like, there's nothing but whores here, you know? Like,
yeah, right.
So this couple comes in where the woman is clearly like, she's driving this experience. And the guy is like, I don't want to be here. This shit's nasty. And I'm like, So they go down. I take them to a room. And then the phone rings at the front desk. He's like, man, this shit is nasty. There's hairs in the sink.
Ugh.
And I'm like, really? And of course, of course, my actual thought is like, yeah, I'm not trying to be a great cleaner.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, so I'm like, what? And then I go down there and I'm like, I cannot believe.
Let me move you guys to the Istanbul room. Yeah.
I like wipe it down and then I try to move. And eventually he calls it off. He's like, No, I'm not doing this. Place is nasty as hell. I was like, good call, man. So I remember it was like that was towards the end, and then like a couple days later, I didn't have another job, but I remember I called the owner and I go, I got another job, man. I'm sorry, I can't come in anymore.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry that I won't be.
I'm sorry, I can't clean come up. For
I
you
can't.
Anymore.
I mean, the jizz mopping is a blast. But
oh God.
I told him I couldn't, and I remember that I was lying, that I didn't have another job, but I was like, it's too gross, and it's too, like, the environment, for a week or two, it feels like you're people watching, you know, it feels like you're conducting some type of, I don't know, social experiment, where you're like, this is wild, but once the newness of it wore off, I was like, this is just foul, man, it was gross.
Is that the grossest job you've ever had?
I mean,
what gets grosser than mopping up strangers' jizz?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you put it like that, that's...
that's probably at the top of the list.
Right at the top now, yeah. I've done some gross shit. I mean, I feel like maybe it's just really the... I've had a lot of, like, those weird short runs, you know? Like, construction stuff. I worked security at an auction before.
At an auction? What kind of auction?
Like... antiques and stuff.
Really? Yeah. You're the security guard at an antique auction?
Yeah.
What is that like?
I
got to be there. Who
yeah, I feel like I was a high school or college. I think it was maybe it was college. I was a big dude. And they just, there you go. Just like look like you're fucking.
Just look menacing.
Yeah. So you just put on your fucking scowl And I mean, it's all like old people, so they're like, oh my God, you know. And then, I mean, the construction stuff was the most brutal, you know. I remember that I would tell you, I worked with a guy there who told me that a bathtub fell on his neck out of a... And I laughed in his face like that.
A bathtub fell on his fucking neck?
Yes.
How the hell?
Yeah, dude, this guy was
things I wish I could have seen.
This guy was super fucked up. And when he told me that, I laughed for 10 minutes straight.
It's the most ridiculous thing to hear.
He just stayed like...
Something that big deadpan. Fell on my neck.
From a third floor window.
How's he alive? How's he alive? Dude,
he had a metal rod in his neck. He had metal rods.
Should have hung shower curtains off those motherfuckers.
You know why it came up? So this fucking guy, we're doing construction.
Oh my God.
My friend's dad bought these shitty apartments, and he wanted to remodel them, right? In Florida. It's the summer after my freshman year in college. So I come home, and he's like, my dad bought these shitty apartments. We're going to, he's going to like retile them, paint, put new AC units in them, and then rent them. So he's like, do you want some work? And I was like, yeah, it'd be great, man. So dude, we're laying tile in apartments in summertime in Florida. They don't have the AC units yet.
Oh man, yeah.
So you're on the floor, you know. It's 97. There's 110% humidity. I mean, like a faucet,
yeah.
Just dripping. Every night, I remember I would sleep like a baby then, dude, because we'd go there, we'd get there at 7 a.m. and work till 5.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Or something, and just be completely exhausted. Well, this guy is like the foreman, and he's clearly like a transient type. You know, it's not
the
on
kind
the
kind that would have a tough fall on his neck.
It's not. It's not on the books kind
right,
of work.
Yeah, right.
So this guy has experience. So he's telling us how to like lay grout and do all this stuff. But he's in charge, and we're just, you know, he's like, bring those 2x4s here. And we're like the muscle, right? Me and my friend and I. So one day we're out there, and he takes his shirt off, and I'm like, what the fuck? So he has in under his skin this shit sticking like this. Bulging out. From like in his abdominal area. I'm like, what the fuck is that? He's like, oh, it's a morphine drip. I was like, what?
It's built into his body.
It's sewn into his body.
It's
and I'm
built
like,
built in morphine.
Yes.
Holy
so they,
shit.
This is in his body, and he's like, it's a constant drip. The wiring goes here to my neck, and it drips on my neck. And I go, what? I go, I've
how
never.
Old, how old do you think he is?
So at the time, I was 18 or 19, and he was probably I want to say maybe 40s. And, you know, he didn't look great.
I mean,
yeah. So he's
considering.
He had like that thin guy build, but with the pot belly, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And you see this thing protruding. And I'm like, wait, what are you? I go, I've never, to this day, by the way, I've only heard one other person bring that up, like that they know what that is.
The morphine drip in the body.
Yes. And I've like the one other person in 25 years has brought that up to me. And I've never seen another one. So this is like, so the guy takes his shirt. I see it. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
What does
about?
It look like?
Is you just it, see that like there's a, clearly something
like a fist
foreign.
Pushing through the
well,
flesh.
It, but it looks like obvious machinery, like
right.
a foreign object under. Like it'd be like if I had this phone
I was gonna say, like an iPod
under my skin,
back in the day.
And you're like, what the fuck is that doing under your skin? So he tells me the he's like, oh yeah, it's a morphine drip. And it's sewn in. I go, why is it sewn into your skin? He goes, well, because I had intraspinal drug delivery, I guess would be one of the ways of doing it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I had an accident, like a horrific accident. And I was like, what happened? And dude, I'm just like looking at him like this, like what happened? He goes, well, I was working on a site and they had built the whole building and they mistakenly hadn't put the tubs in. Into the apartments, so they had to use a special crane to load bathtubs externally through the windows, and one fell out of it and landed on my neck. And I was like, "Oh shit!" And he just looked at me like, "What?" 'Cause I started laughing so hard, and. I go, what happened? And he's like, my neck went to dust. Like the bones were turned into powder.
How's he not dead?
I don't know.
To hit in such a specific way where nothing else hit his head or anything.
I go, holy shit, man. And I kept looking at him because he stayed deadpan. Every time I looked at him, I started laughing. And, he goes, yeah, so I was in the hospital for all this time. They reconstructed my neck with all these rods. And they put this fucking thing in because I'm in so much pain.
He's microdosing morphine every day, all day long.
and then he saw me lose my shit laughing.
Yeah.
So he started to go, he goes, you know, every time, like the next day he goes, you want to hear about the time I broke my legs? And I'm like, yeah
I totally do. What fell on those?
He goes, like a week would come by and he was like, oh, he goes, I know you love these stories. So I thought I'd tell you about when I broke my collarbone.
Yeah.
And he would just tell me these stories about horrific accidents. And I would just laugh my ass off. He had like, he had a tree trimming accident. He had a ladder. Fall on him and break his arm.
This guy shouldn't be working anything like that.
But the tub on the neck.
On my neck, bro. I mean, just that line.
Dude. Yeah. Shit. It was one of the hardest I've ever laughed.
I'll bet, dude. Right in his face, too.
I mean, there's no way I could have hidden it. It hit me in such a way that I couldn't.
I mean, for anybody, why would you ever be expecting to hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, tub fell on my neck. You're like, what?
Third floor.
Third floor. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Dude, what would that must have felt? I mean, I bet he didn't even feel it. It just would have been like.
It had to knock him out. And he had to wake up and be like, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
But your neck's dust.
Well, here's the thing. A tub fell on your neck.
A tub fell on your neck, bro. From third story. He probably didn't remember any of that.
No.
Just waking up like, oh, no. The fuck.
Oh, man. All right.
All right. We got to get you out of here.
Yeah.
Thank you again for
of course.
Being on here. And great. I mean, we didn't even say you're fucking special, dude. It's so fucking good.
Oh, thanks,
I love
man.
It. And I loved being out there and even seeing stuff I didn't get to see. So
yeah.
It's so good, dude.
Thanks,
Make sure
man.
Everybody watches it if you
check
haven't.
Check out Ball Hog.
Yeah, check out
Ball
Hog.
Streaming now on Netflix.
And again, go to YouTube. The Honeydew video episodes are moving to my YouTube page. Again, I'll still be under the feature channel on YMH, but the full episode will be on my YouTube. So go subscribe there now. Go to my website, ryansickler.com. You can subscribe there.
Sign up to my email list. Send me your stories for Honeydew.
Night pants.
Send me your pictures. I'll put them up there for you. Thank you again. I love you. Stay healthy.
I love you too, man.
And I want you to be the first guest at the new studio.
I'd love to be.
So we're going to be making that switch, by the way, by June 1st. So you get over there now. Get over there, sign up, and we'll talk to you all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Yeah.